Youth Mental Health Organisation Oregon has today released a report containing some pretty scary and pretty saddening statistics that put the youth suicide rate at the highest it's been in 10 years. Rates of young females taking their own lives have also gone up, and Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders and LGBTQI youth are most likely to be at risk, something that's backed, I suppose, by previous studies as well. Kristen Douglas is a former principal and the national manager of Headspace School Support, and it means she works with schools who have lost students to suicide. Welcome to RN Drive.
Hi, Patricia. How are you?
Well, thank you for joining us. This is obviously a really complex issue, but it gets a lot more focus than it used to. Why do you think suicide rates are rising?
Just before I answer that, Patricia, I just want to say, I know lots of people are in their cars and on their way home and at home, just acknowledge people who've been touched by suicide. I don't think there's an individual or community that hasn't been touched. But in response, we are really concerned, whether it's the education or the health sector or the mental health sector. In the last couple of months, the 2015 suicide stats came out by ABS, and of course the Origin report, and there's been a whole range of reports and evidence recently that have shown that there's been an increase. And youth suicide's a real concern. It's a real concern for families and for schools. There's a whole range of reasons, and I won't sort of oversimplify these things, but you know, young people are in more distress than I think than ever before, especially in schools. We're seeing more self-harm, self-injury, more suicide attempts, and of course the more suicide attempts you have, it is far more likely the more deaths you see. We know that suicide attempt is the biggest predictor of young people to go on to die by suicide, and the stress levels for young people are higher than any other decade, and I think phenomenons like our program work with schools and communities around phenomenons like contagion, exposure. These are relatively new terms, but we're trying to educate people to say, if you've been exposed to suicide and if you are continually vulnerable, ideation, suicidal thoughts and feelings can be really common for young people. It's how we respond to that.
You work with schools and with parents. How much of your work centres around prevention of youth suicide as well as supporting those who have lost a young person in their lives? I mean, it's so important, isn't it, to identify first at-risk young people?
Absolutely. And look, there's a whole fabric of services available to schools and families. We are but one, and we are at the more acute sort of postvention intervention end. Headspace as a whole national organisation has services, you know, to work for that early intervention, to identify problems early. And we know we did a campaign earlier this year around that young people wait, you know, many, many months before they help seek. And they wait quite a long time to sort of put their hand up and say they're in distress. And then often they're in quite a dark cloud by the time they do receive help. So we work with schools, and there's a whole range of programs. There's Kids Matter and Mind Matters and mental health literacy programs that are all fantastic. But at the intervention end, schools are really struggling to manage, as I said, self-harm and self-injury. And 10 years ago and 20 years ago, principals didn't really have to manage these things. But I would consider now that, you know, out of the thousands of schools in Australia, very few principals would be untouched by this sort of mental health risk and rise of distress and vulnerability in kids.
It still seems to me like we need more reasons, we need more answers about why it would be rising like this. You say that you know, anecdotally, you see that kids are more often in distress. We're seeing this. But as a community, as a culture, we need to get our heads around why young people would be feeling like this and why that kind of mood is getting worse. Yeah. I mean, that just seems astonishing to me.
Well, let me throw a few, I guess, of my assumptions about this. And again, I'm not trying to oversimplify it. But my assumption is that kids these days, I mean, if listeners are thinking right now about their kids, the consumption of information, whether they're watching the news or they're in social media, they have very little downtime, one. So the ability to actually just have a peaceful mind is really hard. Two, they're consuming information on a speed and efficiency about things that are really distressing, life events, you know, other sort of broader national events or even things happening in their own social group. So their ability to manage that information and be emotionally intelligent and developmentally understand how to manage that information is hard. It's hard for us as adults. And I was talking to John Fain this morning, even just shutting off at night and saying, I'm not going to go to bed at 10 p.m. and flick through my news feed. Because the other thing that social media does, apart from deliver information en masse, is we're often questioning our own self-construct or self, sort of place in the world, because we're measuring ourselves against the Facebook reality or the Instagram reality or the Snapchat reality. And a lot of self-esteem or poor resilience or things come about because I think we're not really working with kids to understand how to manage this information, how to manage the head noise about this information. And also kids are able, really sadly, to access more information than ever before about methods and means of suicide. And they're having more serious attempts than ever before, as I said, which are leading on to more deaths.
Just one final question, just on the on the gender breakdown, the fact that more young women are doing this as well. Do we know why that's happening?
Look, boys are absolutely still well overrepresented in the gender breakdown. Young women, sadly, have caught up a little bit in terms of the rates. Again, it's about access to information, sadly. I did say again this morning that girls potentially are choosing more fatal means around suicide. And also, girls are feeling, as I said, more pressure than ever before about the world, about, you know, their body, their, you know, their space. And sadly, I think we're finding it really hard for kids early, kids in primary schools, to encourage them to help seek. And we need to ask questions about how we get kids to help seek and to put their hand up when they're in distress. And look, our program manages six or seven suicides a week of school-related suicides. It's a profound impact on schools and education and mental health.
Well, it's a really sad story. Thank you so much, Kristen, for coming on the program. That's Kristen Douglas. She's the National Manager of Headspace School Support. And if this discussion has raised any issues for you or for anyone that you know or love, there is help available from Lifeline. 131114 is that number. Beyond Blue 2, 1300 224636.